Johnny Bergeson with more tricks that you can teach your horse in the series The World's Most Complete Course in Horse Training. How to teach your horse to teeter-totter and how to teach your horse to balance on a board in midair. You can teach two tricks at the same time. You will need some good stout lumber for constructing your teeter-totter. The teeter-totter will be used for both of these tricks. Hardwood is preferred and it should be very thick. Nail several boards together to form a teeter-totter about 2 to 2.5 feet wide. These boards should be about 12 to 15 feet long and probably 2 inches thick. Lay the teeter board flat on the ground. The first lesson will be to lead the horse to the board. Say, "Get on," and lead him onto the board and stop him when he is in the center of the board. Make him stand there for a moment. Feed him a handful of grain and caress him. Lead him the rest of the way across and off the board. Do this several times for the first lesson and until your horse will readily walk onto the board. If it takes several lessons to get the horse to walk onto the board easily, then take several lessons to do this. It will be very helpful if the horse has already been taught to mount some other type of platform or pedestal. Always give the command, "Get on," before taking the horse onto the board. In future lessons, raise the teeter board in the center a few inches off the ground by putting a block or board under the center. The illustration in the textbook will be very helpful to you. Proceed by leading the horse onto the raised board and stop him when he's almost to the center of the board. Now you should step on the board in front of him far enough to cause the board to teeter down slowly. If he's positioned properly, you can teeter the board by stepping towards your horse and then stepping away from your horse. Give him a treat and get him used to teetering. You can repeat this lesson a couple times or until he's not afraid of the movement of the teeter-totter. In subsequent lessons, lead your horse onto the teeter-totter and stop him directly in the middle of the teeter board in order that he is perfectly balanced. Both ends of the teeter-totter will be off the ground. If they are not, it's still okay if the horse is close to being balanced. It's better not to be far enough onto the board rather than to be too far onto the board. Always let the horse stand balanced for a few moments before having him teeter. Next, take hold of one of his front legs and move it forward a few inches. The board will teeter down. Move his foot back behind the original position of his foot, and the board will teeter back. Move your horse's foot forward and back several times, and then reward him with a treat. Repeat the process, but say "teeter" just before you move his foot. In following lessons, you probably will not give your horse a treat until he does something better than the last lesson, such as easily walking onto the teeter-totter or perhaps moving his foot to teeter as soon as you give him the command before you actually lift his foot to do it. The very first time he tries to move his foot to teeter on his own with the command alone, lavish him with praise, a treat, and a caress. The lesson should then be over. With practice, your horse will begin to teeter to the command every time, and you will need to give him a cue such as "all right," or "that will do" as a signal to stop teetering. Improvement will follow until you can walk your horse to the teeter-totter, give the command "get on," and your horse will walk up the board and stop balanced on the board in midair. In a moment, say "teeter," and he will teeter until you give the command to stop. When your horse reaches this stage, you are ready to increase the height of the center of the teeter-totter several more inches. Practice still more and again raise the height of the teeter board. You will be able to raise the height to somewhere between 1 foot and 1.5 feet in a short time. Once your horse has learned the principle of teetering, this trick is very impressive when performed properly. You have two kinds of tricks from this training. Actually, the tricks are very similar, but you have two different tricks. The one trick is a balancing trick, and the other trick is a teetering trick. Of course, your horse can't teeter until your horse learns to balance, or just about balance himself anyway. For a show, you can give a big build-up to the fact that your horse will balance on a board in midair. You can have your choice. You can either ride your horse onto the board and have him balance with you on his back, or you can have him walk up by himself and balance in midair. If you're in the saddle and ride him up and let him balance, it is very impressive for you to then slowly get up and stand on the saddle once the horse is balanced. After the applause, you can sit down in the saddle and have your horse teeter with you in the saddle. Of course, you can do it another way. You can ride your horse up, balance, go through your routine, and after the applause, you can ride your horse down off the teeter-totter. You can then return to the teeter board a little later in your program, or immediately, and send the horse up on the teeter board by himself, and as soon as he's balanced, immediately give the command, teeter. Either way, you've got two tricks that are very impressive for your horse to perform. How to teach your horse to wind up his front legs. The position that the horse who has wound up his front legs will be in will be the same position, or almost the same position, as the horse that crossed his front legs. Let me explain how a horse winds up his front legs. Essentially, the horse does a pivot on the forehand, except that his front hooves remain planted on the ground. They don't move at all. The horse steps sideways with his hind legs until he has made a partial circle. The front legs, not being able to do anything except rotate on the spot, tend to twist together. When the front legs have been wound together, you can then cue the horse to do his pivot in the other direction until he is now in a straight position with his legs untwisted. How to teach this trick? You can use the same lasso or rope that you used in teaching a horse to cross his front legs. Put the loop over both front pasterns and pull the loop fairly snug. Now the horse should have been taught to do a pivot on the forehand, which is discussed in an earlier lesson. If the horse hasn't been taught to do a pivot on the forehand, you will need to stand near his flank and push on his hindquarters to get him to take a step or two with his hindquarters, and then praise your horse for stepping to the side. And over a period of time, you will actually be teaching him to move away from you. However, if you haven't taught the horse to do a pivot on the forehand, I suggest that you teach him to do a pivot on the forehand prior to attempting this trick. Now give your horse the cue to do a pivot on the forehand. The rope is around both front pasterns. You pull on the rope, which causes it to feel snug. The horse starts to step with his hind legs. He steps sideways with them. After he's taken two or three steps, stop him from stepping any farther and stroke his front legs and praise your horse. When you stroke his front legs, this tends to tell him to leave them alone, not to move them, to leave them planted where they are. Now tell your horse to do a turn on the forehand again. Attempt to get your horse to take a couple more steps with his hind legs. Attempt to get him to turn farther, to wind up farther. Now stroke your horse's front legs as the horse steps farther. This is plenty far enough to go in the first lesson. You may not even get him to go this far in the first lesson, but you attempt to get the horse to wind his legs as far as he can without uncrossing them. This is what you will do in every lesson. Praise your horse while his legs are partially wound. When he holds his legs stationary without moving them, you should praise him and give him a treat. Next, you tell the horse to do a pivot on the forehand in the opposite direction. This will straighten out his legs. Pet your horse, let him have a moment's rest, and repeat the process. Pull on the rope, which tightens around both pasterns. This holds his front legs fairly stationary. Stroke his front legs if necessary. Tell the horse to do a pivot on the forehand. He will step sideways several steps, and just before you think your horse might be about to lift up his front legs, stop him from turning. Praise him, stroke his front legs, let him know he's a good boy, and then tell your horse to unwind. You give him a signal for a turn on the forehand in the opposite direction. This can be the conclusion of the first lesson. For the second lesson, you will merely repeat what you've done in the first lesson, except that you will try to get the horse to wind up a little bit farther. Also, when you give the command for the pivot on the forehand the first time, you should use the word wind. You will be attempting to teach your horse to wind up his front legs on the command, wind. When the horse has twisted as far as he can, praise him and allow him to unwind his legs. With each lesson, you should give the horse a chance to begin moving after you say the word, wind. Give him a chance to wind up before you actually tell him to do the pivot on the forehand. Now just give him a moment to start moving. 1 or 2 seconds is sufficient, and then you should use your whip on his flank to indicate that he should do the pivot on the forehand. You would use the whip perhaps 8 to 10 inches behind where the girth might go. This would indicate the pivot on the forehand. Shortly, your horse will hear the word wind, and he will anticipate your whip tapping him on that side of his body, and he will start to wind up his legs on his own. As soon as he does, you should really praise him and feed him. Your goal is for you to merely have to say the word wind, and your horse will twist up his front legs by doing a pivot on the forehand, except that he holds his front legs stationary. The reason why this winds up his front legs is because in the normal pivot on the forehand, the front leg in the direction that his hind legs are traveling also makes a circle around the horse's other front leg. But when he plants both front feet solidly on the ground, his other front leg can't make this small circle. Therefore, the front legs wind up. When your horse seems to be progressing well and seems to understand how to wind up his front legs, you can take the rope off his front legs and attempt to have him wind up his front legs. With practice, you will merely be able to say wind, and your horse will wind up his front legs. To unwind, say, that will do, and give a tap with the whip for a pivot on the forehand in the opposite direction, and he will unwind his front legs. Then allow your horse to uncross his front legs, make him unwind himself, or you could possibly develop the bad habit of your horse uncrossing his front legs whenever he felt like it. Also, it's very impressive to watch your horse unwind his front legs. It looks very impressive for him to wind up his front legs, and it is just about as impressive to watch him unwind his front legs. How to teach your horse to stretch and make a chair for you. Don't teach this trick if your horse ever kicks. It's not worth it. Make certain your horse won't kick under any circumstances before attempting to teach this trick. How does a horse stretch and make a chair? Essentially, what he does is to do an exaggerated stretch. He walks out with his front legs. He walks forward with his front legs while he remains in the same position with his hind legs. This stretches him. But you have the horse do more than just a stretch. He does an exaggerated stretch. In this exaggerated stretch position, there is an indentation right above each of the horse's hocks. Now just think how a horse's leg is made. There is a curve above his hock. Now when he walks forward with his front legs, leaving his hind legs protruding in back of him, right above each hock is an exaggerated indentation or curve to the horse's leg. It gives you a place to appear to sit on. You can walk back on the left side of your horse and sit down on one hock. Some of your weight is on the hock, and some of your weight is still on your feet, but it looks just like your horse has made a chair for you. How to teach your horse to stretch and make a chair for you. To teach your horse to take this position, you should stand at his left side. With your right foot, press against your horse's left front pastern, that's the rear side of his left leg just below the fetlock. Press into your horse's leg and lift up and move his left front leg forward a step. Now reach with your right front foot and place your boot or shoe against your horse's right front pastern. Press forward and lift. Cause your horse to step forward with his right front hoof. Now don't allow him to come forward with his hind legs. Repeat the process with each leg and you will get your horse to step forward a couple steps with both front legs while remaining in the same position with his hind legs. Praise your horse and pet him. Now use the halter or bridle, whatever you have on your horse, to cause him to step backwards with his front legs. Don't allow him to come out of a stretch position except by backing up to get out of it. Otherwise, you may teach him to come forward with his hind legs whenever he feels like it. Anytime he wants to relieve himself of this position, he may just step forward on his own. Now, this position isn't uncomfortable for your horse, but he might decide that he was tired of standing in it or that it wasn't quite normal, and he might come forward with his hind legs. Now, you're attempting to teach him to hold his legs still. Therefore, when he is to quit this position, he should back up with his front legs rather than walk forward with his hind legs. Now repeat the process all over again. Use your right front foot on the back of your horse's left pastern. Lift his leg forward. Use your right front foot on the back of your horse's right front pastern. Move it forward. Move each leg forward as many times as you can without your horse stepping forward with his hind legs. Praise your horse while he is in this stretch position and give him a treat. Your horse is learning to stretch, but you are going to take it one step farther than the stretch. Now I suggest that you have two commands. You should have one command for a stretch if you have an English horse that's suitable for stretching. It is improper for breeds such as the Arabian to be shown stretched in competition. But if you're showing an English horse of certain other breeds, such as the American Saddlebred, it is proper to stretch. Now, as your horse starts to catch on to what is happening, just before you use your foot to move his front legs forward, use the command, stretch. Then lift his front pasterns forward with your foot. Now, for a proper stretch position, you will probably have to move each front foot forward 4 or 5 times, perhaps even 6. It depends on the size step that he takes forward. Usually, he will just go 3 or 4 inches at a time. Repeat the process over and over again until all you have to do is say stretch, and your horse will begin stepping forward with his front legs. The first time he gives any indication of that, praise him and reward him with a treat. You can then have him back up, and the lesson is over. Now, after you have taught your horse to take a stretch position, you will give a second command. This command will be chair. When you give the verbal command chair, you should then use your right front foot on the back of your horse's left front pastern, and then on the back of his right front pastern. This will cause your horse to stretch even farther. Now, if you have a Western horse, or you have a horse that you don't want to stretch at all, you won't need to stop your horse in the stretch position, and the only command you will need is chair. And you won't do the portion of teaching your horse what stretch means. You will only teach him what chair means. But if you have an English horse that you will sometimes want to have stretched, you should sometimes just have him stretch, and other times have him stretch, and then give the additional command, chair. If you have a horse that will never stretch in competition, the only command you will use is chair, and the horse will take the complete position. Now the horse will need to take 2 or 3 more steps after the stretch position if he's going to stretch and make a chair. It needs to be an exaggerated stretch. Now, you can't do this in a week. This will take several weeks. The horse has to limber himself up. Various parts of his body need to become able to stretch this way without it causing damage or pain to him. In other words, the horse can only bend so far unless he has exercised and practiced bending. If you were to bend in certain positions that a trained dancer or athlete might bend, it could cause you some pain. The same is true of the horse. Now you will want your horse to stretch, and then you give the command, chair, and he should stretch about another 6 to 9 inches. This will put him in an exaggerated stretch position. You should praise him. Now once he's got this down pat, after he has stretched, you walk around his hind legs, put your hands at the top of his rump, run your hand down the back of his hind leg to his hock, and then slowly lean against his hind leg. With a little more practice, you will then be able to sit down gently just above one of his hocks. You can just simply use the command, chair, to get your horse to take the full position. If you just want a stretch position, you only say stretch. Now, if your horse goes to step too far, you should stop him with the rope that you have fastened to his halter. If you want 2 positions, it will be a little more difficult, but you can do it. You need to stop the horse when he goes to go too far. Sometimes you practice stretch, sometimes you practice chair. If you only want him to stretch and make a chair, it is very simple. You just teach him to take the one position, give the command, and he will take the complete position. This is a very cute trick. Now remember, if sometimes you want him to stretch and other times you want him to stretch and make a chair, it's necessary to stop him any time if you give the command stretch and he goes to make the chair. He has to realize there's a difference between both of these. Your horse can also learn to be bashful. By being bashful, your horse will hide his head under your right arm. stand in front of your horse, but a little to his right. That means you take a step to your left so that you are a hair to your horse's right. You take a piece of carrot or apple in your left hand. Now reach your left hand behind your back and offer it to your horse from your right side. At the same time, you should raise your right arm up in the air so that it's sticking straight out, horizontal to the ground. You'll have to try to get your horse to notice the treat that is in your left hand. Your left hand goes behind your back and is just barely visible on your right side. You want your horse to come forward to take the treat so that he will put his head under your arm to be bashful. Now, if your horse doesn't seem to see the treat there, you can take a treat in your right hand, show it to your horse, let your horse follow your right hand back to your body so that he's about to put his head in the right place. Your left hand should be behind your back with nothing in it, and you transfer the treat from your right hand to your left hand in front of your horse's nose. Your horse will then be fed out of your left hand. He then sees that you feed him out of your left hand from behind your back. It's a ridiculous position, but your horse will say, "Hey, I like that. I like to be fed." Now you will give the command bashful every time you offer your horse a treat from behind your back. Use your left hand around behind your back. The horse takes it from your right side. Your arm, your right arm, is horizontal to the ground. When your horse puts his head under your arm, you bring your arm down. Your arm comes down over his nose, probably just in front of his eyes, with his nose sticking out behind you a little bit. You should praise your horse and keep him in this position for a moment, and then you say, "That will do." You practice this lesson over and over. In future lessons, sometimes you will say bashful prior to offering the treat. You will have the treat in your left hand behind your back, but you won't have stuck your left hand out far enough to the right in order for your horse to see it or to get it. You want your horse to attempt to put his head there before the treat is offered. If the horse doesn't put his head in the proper position, then slide your hand over a little farther so that he can see the treat. As soon as he goes to put his head there, prior to the treat being offered, praise him. Praise him a lot and put him away. The lesson is over. In no time at all, your horse should learn to put his head under your arm every time you give the command, bashful. Later, you won't have to hold your arm horizontal to the ground. All you will have to do is just lift your arm enough for your horse to stick his head under your armpit. This is a very cute trick. How to teach your horse to limp. There are a lot of different ways to teach a horse to limp, but I'm going to share with you what I think is the most effective and most humane way to teach a horse to limp. This is also the simplest way to teach a horse to limp. All he needs is a halter and lead rope, and you should carry a riding whip in your right hand. You stand at the horse's left side, holding the lead rope in your left hand. Your right hand, which is holding the riding whip, is right beside the horse. You now lead the horse forward. Every step he goes to take with his left front hoof should result in a slight tap with your riding crop on your horse's left front cannon bone. That is the bone that runs on your horse's front leg between his knee and his fetlock. In other words, every time your horse lifts his left front leg into the air as it begins to go up, tap him on the cannon bone. This will cause him to hold his leg up for an instant longer than normal. You attempt to get your horse to hold his leg up longer than his right front leg. In other words, you're trying to get him to hesitate before stepping down on that hoof. When a horse limps, he hesitates before stepping down. And so every time he lifts his leg up, you tap it in an effort to get him to hesitate. Any time he shows the least indication of hesitancy, or to lift his leg back up towards his belly, or anything that would look like a limp at all, you praise him and give him a treat. Then you proceed to lead him forward again and tap on his cannon bone with every step. Now you should reward any effort. Now don't try to teach this trick too thoroughly in one lesson. You could teach your horse to limp constantly when you lead him. He might not stop. This trick should be taught over a period of 10 days to 2 weeks, perhaps even a little longer. You don't want the horse to limp when you don't want him to limp. Now, as soon as the horse seems to have caught on that every time you tap his cannon bone, he should hesitate about stepping down on it, you are ready to bring in the cue. The cue for the limp would be the word limp. Every time you are going to touch your horse with a whip, say limp just before you do. In a little while, all you will need to do is just touch your horse on the cannon rather than to tap him with a whip. Gradually decrease the tap until all you are saying is limp with no tap and no touch at all. At this point, you are ready to progress even farther with the limp. Say limp. You will then lead the horse forward and he will limp the first stride. If he doesn't limp the second stride, don't say limp again. Tap him with your whip. You should only need to give one command, and he's supposed to continue limping until you tell him to stop. If he takes a second stride at a limp and you don't tap him, you don't need to tap him, then praise him and put him away. That's enough for that lesson. In the following lesson, attempt to get him to take 3 steps at a limp when you've only given the command limp one time. In other words, he would take 3 limping steps with his left front leg. If he does so, praise him. Now, if he doesn't limp with the extra step, tap him with the riding whip to cause him to limp and then say that will do. Stop and start over again. When you start over again, say limp. If your horse doesn't continue limping, tap him with the riding crop. Eventually, you will be able to say limp, and your horse will take 2 or 3 steps at a limp, and then you should say that will do. You don't want to try to stretch it into 5 or 6 steps at this time. 2 or 3 are sufficient for now. Later, you'll try to get 3 or 4, then 5 or 6, and then more. But for now, your goal is to get your horse to limp more than one time, even though you've only given the command once. Your goal is to have your horse do it in order that you can praise him to tell him that that's what you want him to do. You're trying to get a message across to him, and that is to limp until you tell him to stop, to limp more than one time. Later, you will encourage him to go farther, but this is far enough for now. Then in future lessons, you will expect him to go farther until eventually all you will need to do is give the command limp, and your horse will limp until you say, that will do. This trick takes time. It could take you a couple months to teach. That is, to teach this trick effectively. Now, I would be able to teach this trick much sooner, but if you don't have a lot of experience training horses, it might take you a little bit longer to teach it. But it is a very good trick. I suspect that you will make progress in about 2 to 3 weeks, although it could take you a little longer. Also, some horses will learn this trick much more quickly than others. The reason being, the horse has to have coordination for this trick. Some horses will have a little bit better coordination for this than others, and the coordination makes this trick take a little bit longer than some other tricks. Be patient, and you will succeed. You should try to have your horse attempt to do what you want. That's all you can ask. And if he attempts to do what you want, in just a short time he will develop the coordination to actually do what you want. You should reward his attempt just as if he had done a limp perfectly. In later lessons, once your horse has developed the coordination and can do a proper limp, then you will only reward him when he limps properly. If he were to revert back, you would use a corrective measure, such as your whip, to tell him to hold his leg up longer. Be patient. Your horse will succeed, and so will you. How to teach a horse to rear up and stand on his hind legs. Now, before you teach this trick, I want to warn you to exercise caution. If this horse is going to be used with other people or around children, you may be best not to teach your horse this trick. This trick could be dangerous if someone accidentally told the horse to rear. Even though you have a command for rearing, a horse also goes by your positioning and spatial relationships and pressure, as well as what you think the cue is. Now, if someone were to happen to do something that reminded the horse of his rear cue, he could possibly rear when he wasn't supposed to, and he could really hurt someone. So I would like to tell you to exercise that caution. The other caution is that you can ruin a horse by teaching him to rear. If you know what you're doing, you won't, but if you're not really experienced with horses, you could teach your horse to rear when you don't want him to rear, and he could use a rear to resist you. In other words, you could teach him to rear on his hind legs and to misbehave. Therefore, don't teach your horse to rear unless he has been thoroughly trained to do a lot of other things first, and I would suggest that you should work with the horse for a couple years prior to teaching him to rear, just to make certain that you do have control of him. The method for teaching a horse to rear is very simple. You stand far ahead of your horse, you have a long rope or lunge line on him. The reason you stand far in front of him is so that when he rears up, should he strike out with one of his front legs, which is a natural thing for him to do, he will not hit you with a hoof. His hoof could kill you or break an arm or a hand. It would be totally an accident, and yet this could happen. So you shouldn't stand right directly in front of your horse. I suggest that you take a lunging whip. If you don't have a lunging whip, you can use a long stick. It must be very long. Probably about 10 feet is a good length. You should then swish the whip underneath your horse's chin. Tap him underneath his chin and jaw. If you have a whip, you could even crack it beneath his jaw. Now, I'm not talking about cracking it on his jaw. I'm talking about swishing it or cracking it underneath his head. Now, the purpose of this is to get him to lift his head. If he lifts his head, praise him. You continue with this until your horse lifts his front legs off the ground. Now, he won't rear at first. He'll just give a little hop or just a little bounce up, and that is sufficient. It may take several lessons to get your horse to leave the ground at all. To teach a horse to rear takes time, but the method is very simple. It can also be helpful if you put a bit in your horse's mouth. Put a saddle on him and fasten the reins behind the saddle horn of a Western saddle, pulling the reins fairly snug. You should use a curb bit or a pelham bit, something that has a chin strap on it, as the chin strap will put pressure underneath the horse's chin and cause him to raise his head. Now, if you have a surcingle, you can attach the reins to the surcingle, but you want to have the reins attached as high as possible, fairly snug, and you want some type of chin strap beneath the bit in order that the horse will raise his head. Now, you should practice this lesson daily, but as soon as your horse rears one time or gives an attempt to rear, that is all. You shouldn't do it again unless you have a pause of at least 3 minutes. Otherwise, you will teach your horse to rear, and he will rear several times in a row without stopping. He could be uncontrollable. You don't want to have him rear and then immediately rear again. There should be a pause in between the rears. You can have him rear several times if you have a substantial length of time in between the rears. You want him to rear only on command. Now, I suggest that you give a command such as rear. Use the word rear along with your whip beneath his chin. Now later, the horse's signal for rearing will be for your whip to be held vertically, in other words, straight up in the air, and for you to say rear at the same time. Now your whip would be held down, and you would raise it up just as you would to swish it underneath your horse's head. And this whip will be raised up vertically, and that will be a signal for your horse to rear. Now, in the first few lessons, be satisfied with any attempt whatsoever. Even if all he does is raise his head very high, that's satisfactory for the first couple lessons. Now, some trainers hit their horses on their front legs to get them to rear. I don't like that method. You can use it if you use the whip lightly, but if you should ever tap your horse on his front leg, it could cause him to rear sometime when you don't want him to rear. Another factor involved in this, if you're going to teach your horse to bow or count or anything else where you might use a crop or something on his front legs, you could have an accident. The horse could rear. Now, when your horse gives any indication whatsoever of rearing, give a command such as, "That will do," or "All right," to tell him that he did well, and run up to him and give him a treat out of your hand and praise him and pet him. In time, you will be able to get your horse to rear higher and higher. In other words, you will give him the command to rear, and he will go up a little bit, and you'll swish your whip again to encourage him to go even higher yet and to stay in the air. Later, your horse will be able to stand upright. At first, he will only rear for a couple seconds or so, but you should encourage him to stay up in the air, and you will have taught him to stand erect. If he goes to come down, tell him to rear and swish your whip under his chin. This will tell him he should have continued standing erect. This will also be beneficial in teaching him to stay up in the air, to use your whip under his chin. Now, if you want him to rear up in the air and come back down immediately, as soon as he's up in the air, you give the command, "That will do." When you want him to stay up in the air, you don't give the release command of "That will do." You can also teach your horse to walk on his hind legs. After you've taught him to stand erect, you should encourage him to come forward by calling his name or saying, "Come here," whatever command that you use to call him. Your horse should first have been taught to come when called, or it's also possible to use a command that you would have used on the lunge line, such as walk. Except when he goes to come down to come to you or goes to come down to walk, use the whip immediately underneath his chin to keep him in the air or to tell him to go back up in the air. Now, it's possible you'll have to tap him lightly under the chin to keep him in the air. If he comes back down, put him back up in the air immediately. He probably will come down, but put him back up in the air to have him stand erect, and then try to get him to come forward. You can also pull on the halter as if to lead him, but you should face your horse at all times with your whip remaining straight up in the air. When it's time for him to come down, your whip should fall and you give the command, "That will do," at the exact same moment. I like to have a double signal for this. That way the horse doesn't make any mistakes. You have a double signal for the rear. It's both a voice command and a visual command. And when it's time to quit rearing, there is also a double command. That way the horse is less likely to make a mistake. Now, if the horse goes even one step forward when you attempt to urge him forward, praise him, say, "That will do," and give him a treat. This trick takes time and practice. Gradually, you will encourage your horse to take two steps, and you will praise him for taking two steps. Later, you will encourage him to take three or four steps. You need to practice this until your horse can walk on his hind legs for whatever distance you wish him to walk. As your horse comes towards you, you are facing him, and you walk backwards away from him. When you want your horse to stop walking forward, you then hold your position, and then the horse should stop walking forward. If he doesn't, you may possibly need to use your whip in front of him, not beneath him, not beneath his head, but in front of him so that he wouldn't want to walk into the whip if it was swinging. You could also give the command "Whoa," or whatever command it is that you would want to use when you wish him to stop. It is now a very simple matter to rear or to stand erect while you are on his back. I suggest to you that you only do this from on the ground, and you will be much less likely to have a horse that will rear up on you when you don't want him to. Now, it is a very simple matter to rear while you are mounted. To begin, you should sit in the saddle and have an assistant stand in front of your horse. The assistant should cue the horse to rear. If the horse doesn't rear, the assistant should use the whip underneath the horse's head, swish the whip, and perhaps tap him on the jaw, on the lower side of his jaw, to get him to rear and stand erect. Now, the horse's balance will be a little bit different with you on his back, and this could be dangerous if the horse were to fall over backwards. Whatever you do, don't pull back on the reins. You could pull the horse over backwards on top of yourself. You should just sit there in the saddle until you say, "That will do," and the horse will come down. I suggest that you be satisfied with your horse only doing a partial rear when you're on his back. In other words, the first time or two he might only go up a foot or two. It's almost like he's learning to rear all over again. Allow him to take this time. He needs to learn to balance himself differently when you are on his back. Let him take a week or 10 days. Let him take 3 weeks if he wants to take that long. Let him take as much time as he needs to learn to stand erect with you on his back. Let him take the time to learn to balance himself. You'll need an assistant until that time, but let the horse take as much time as he needs. Now, once the horse has learned to rear with the assistant, you can then give the command from on the horse's back. I suggest that you use a command such as 3, 2, 1, ready, set, rear. In other words, as a preparation, say, 3, 2, 1, ready, set. The horse should not rear until you say the word rear, but he will be less likely to rear accidentally if he goes through this preparation first. The preparation is the 3, 2, 1, ready, set. The horse will be getting ready to rear at any moment when he hears the 3, 2, 1, ready, set. If the horse starts to rear prior to your saying the word rear, you should scold him. You should scold him to let him know that he did something that wasn't right. After he settled down, do it over again. Do it until your horse understands that he is not to rear until you say the word rear. This way, if someone else rides your horse isn't just going to rear up. Or if someone says a word that sounds like rear, your horse will not rear. You always say, 3, 2, 1, ready, set, rear. Your horse will learn that he is only to rear after the preparation signal, and then after the preparation signal when he is given the command. You can also use this preparation signal when you are on the ground. As a matter of fact, it is an excellent idea to not allow the horse to rear when he is on the ground until you've used the preparation signal. But it is not as important on the ground as it is in the saddle, because in the saddle, the horse could really use this to resist you, or if someone else were riding the horse, they could have a serious accident because of a misinterpretation of a cue. Also, you have two cues from the ground. The one is the whip raised in the air, and the other is the verbal command. In the saddle, you don't have the visual cue of standing in front of your horse and lifting the whip up. This way, in the saddle, you will have two cues for your horse to rear. One tells him to get ready to rear. The other tells him that, all right, now you can do it, now you can rear. Now, you don't have to use the signal of 3, 2, 1, ready, set, and then say rear. You don't have to use that. You can use anything that you want to use. You could say, Rumpelstiltskin, rear. The Rumpelstiltskin is a preparatory signal. It gets the horse ready. When he hears the word rear, he then actually rears. You can use any signal or any words that you choose, but it is very important that you use two signals so that the horse doesn't make a mistake. And when you use a preparatory signal or a preparation signal, if the horse ever rears prior to your giving the actual signal to rear, you should scold him. You should tell him he was bad. If necessary, use your whip on your horse's hindquarters as a scolding. This is partly what you do to correct a horse that rears when he's not supposed to under saddle. In other words, if you were riding a horse and he was going to act up and rear, you would probably kick him in the sides, and if you had a whip, you would hit him on the rear end. This tells him to go forward. If he rears when he's not supposed to, I would suggest that you use your whip on your horse's rear one time and then tell him he was bad. Then go through the whole process all over again, and your horse should not rear until you tell him to rear. If he rears on the first signal, he should be scolded again. The horse needs to wait until the second signal. The first signal merely means get ready to rear. The second signal tells him to rear. Also, if you use two signals, it helps your horse during training. In other words, if you stand in front of your horse with a whip and say, 3, 2, 1, ready, set, rear, the horse will be preparing for the action which is to come. Now, I wouldn't use a preparatory signal, the first signal, until your horse has started coming off the ground. In other words, if your horse hasn't yet learned to remove his front feet from the ground and to bounce up in the air a little bit, I wouldn't use the preparation signal yet. But as soon as he starts to learn to use his front legs and to lift them off the ground, you can use the preparation signal, or you can wait until the horse has already learned to rear before you use the preparation signal. But anywhere in between those two points is where you can start. I suggest starting after the horse will go up on his hind legs just a little bit upon hearing the command alone. I think that's the ideal time, although it can be started any of the times that I've mentioned. Your horse can give you a hug. Sometimes this is called hugging your neck. To do this, you will stand with your back to your horse's right front shoulder. You will have your back or your neck against your horse's neck. In other words, you're on the right side of your horse. You stand with your back to his neck. The horse reaches around with his head and puts his nose back by his withers. In essence, he's encircled you with his head. Preferably, he has hugged your neck as opposed to your body, although this will depend upon your height. If you want to bend over a little bit or stand up on your tiptoes, depending on your height, he can hug your neck. Now, to teach this trick is very simple. All you do is stand in the position I just described. You then offer your horse a treat from your hand, but you move your hand around to your right side, that is towards the horse's back. In other words, you move your hand towards your right side. When your hand moves towards your right side is towards your horse's back, and so your horse will follow your hand with his head in a movement towards his back. The horse will follow your hand to reach the treat. When he follows your hand, he will wrap his head right around you. Give him a treat and praise him, and this lesson is over. Now, what you do in future practices is that you offer your horse a treat, but you say hug. And shortly, your horse will get the idea that he has to put his head around you to get the treat. Now, I suggest that you say hug just before offering your horse the treat, and that you offer the treat on the same side that he has to put his head around. In other words, don't have him follow your hand every time. Say hug, and just put your hand over there so that he has to reach around you to get the treat. Still later, you won't offer the treat until his head is already around you, and you give him the treat when his head is around you. And of course, you praise him. Anytime he shows rapid improvement, praise him. Give him several treats, and the lesson is over. Now, eventually, what you'll want to do is to say hug, and your horse will put his head around you. You say, that will do, and you praise him, and you give him the treat. In other words, in future lessons, the horse won't get his reward until after he's already given you the hug and has relaxed his hug. After this, you won't have to give him a treat every time. You can gradually decrease the reward to just praise, although it is helpful to occasionally give your horse a hand-fed treat for a reward for this trick and for any other trick. How to teach your horse to smile. When a horse smiles for a trick, he lifts his upper lip so high that it just about turns inside out. You can see the inside of your horse's upper lip, and he really shows his teeth. This is a very cute trick, and it's very easy to teach. Stand facing your horse's head. Stand to the left side of his head. With your right hand underneath his jaw, raise his head slightly. Now take a small nail or a popsicle stick in your left hand. A nail probably would work a little bit better. Slide it up underneath the horse's upper lip. In other words, put the nail or popsicle stick inside your horse's upper lip. This should tend to cause him to raise his upper lip. If it doesn't and you have difficulty, you can always use a pin. You may want to experiment with several things. A small pointed stick might work well. Although, if you do use a pin, don't use the pin on him harshly. I would suggest that you try several other items first and see if you can find something that will cause the horse to raise his upper lip. Now, if you have to resort to the pin, don't use the pin on the inside of the horse's lip. You would use the pin on the outside of the horse's lip at the very bottom of his upper lip, and you would use it very gently. You would use the pin very gently at the bottom of the horse's upper lip. Don't try to prick him. Just place it there and push up a little bit. You may have to prick him just slightly the first time, but try not to hurt your horse or cause him discomfort. You're mostly trying to tickle him. Now, the point where you use this on the horse's upper lip is the point right where his bottom and upper lips come together, except you use it on the upper lip. Now, another method that you would probably find helpful would be to take a slice of lemon or something else that the horse would find distasteful and slide this up inside the horse's upper front lip. In other words, place it between his teeth and his upper front lip. The horse will lift his lip in an attempt to rid himself of the thing, the lemon or whatever thing you have inside his upper front lip. Another reason he will raise his lip is because when a horse tastes something he thinks tastes strange, he tends to lift his upper front lip anyway. This is another method you might try before using a pin. But in any event, to teach the horse, use one of these actions to cause the horse to raise his upper front lip. As soon as he does, praise him, remove the stimulus, and give your horse a hand-fed treat. Now repeat the action again. When the horse lifts his lip to show his teeth, when he really lifts it up good, say smile, and praise him, and give him a hand-fed treat. Now, you don't have to use a verbal command. If you want, you can just use a pressure command. Every time you lift your horse's nose up into the air from under his jaw, every time you tilt your horse's head up, he will smile. That could be your cue to lift his head up just slightly underneath his jaw. In other words, you will go just as though you were going to use a stimulus to cause him to lift his lip. He will think of it and lift his lip, except you didn't use any stimulus on his lip. You can use that, or you can use the command smile. Encourage your horse to smile on command. It will probably take a number of lessons before your horse will smile on command, but the first time he smiles on command, or even lifts his lip a tiny bit, give him a treat, praise him, and let the lesson be over for that day. Now, on the following day, you will encourage him to smile more or to smile correctly again. If your horse smiled correctly the previous day, you will want him to smile correctly again today before you put him away. However, if he didn't do a complete smile yesterday, you may be satisfied if he makes another attempt to smile today, even if it's not a complete smile. With each day, encourage your horse to smile a little bit better than the day before. As the lessons progress, don't be satisfied with him just lifting his lip up a little bit. Give the command, he'll lift his lip up a little bit, and then apply your stimulus again to get him to lift his lip even higher. You will continue these lessons until your horse will regularly lift his lip up as high as you want it on the command alone. The first time he does this, you should just reward him as if he had performed some magnificent feat. Give him hand-fed treats, pet him, praise him, let him know that you appreciate his effort. It won't be that long and your horse will smile on command any time you tell him to do so. If you have difficulty, there is an alternative method that is very simple, although usually the horse does not lift his lip as high. In the alternate method, you take a carrot and hold the carrot vertically toward your horse's mouth. Your horse will go to spread his lips in order to take the carrot. Keep the carrot just out of your horse's reach for a moment. When the horse has his lips spread, give a cue, praise him, and then allow him to have the carrot. This method uses up a lot of carrots, but every time your horse sees a carrot held up, he will begin to smile. Later, this cue can be transferred to your finger held up or something else. As I understand it, this is the cue which was used for Mr. Ed, the talking horse on television. A carrot was held up out of sight of the camera, and Mr. Ed would go through the movement of moving his lips. Mr. Ed would be shown a carrot, and he would move his lips. Of course, a voice was dubbed in to make it appear as though Mr. Ed was actually talking. You can use this same method to teach your horse to smile, although the horse will not lift his lips as high in all probability as he would if you used one of the other methods that I have outlined for you. How to teach a horse to pull a hanky out of your pocket. If you'd like to teach your horse to find a handkerchief, you should mash up an apple inside of a handkerchief. Then offer the handkerchief to your horse. The horse will probably chew on it or root around in it, but offer it to your horse's mouth. Attempt to get your horse to take the handkerchief into his mouth. When he does, pet him and praise him and offer him a treat from your other hand. It is very important that you encourage your horse to take the handkerchief into his teeth or into his mouth. You can also use grain or something else other than apple, but the apple taste tends to go right through the handkerchief. Mash up another apple and attempt to get the horse to take the handkerchief again. If he takes it into his mouth at all, praise him, reward him, and let the lesson be over. For future lessons, you will gradually put the handkerchief farther and farther into your pocket. Once the horse has learned to take the handkerchief in his teeth, you slowly stuff the handkerchief farther and farther into your pocket. The handkerchief should be visible to the horse, but gradually it becomes less and less visible until there is just a corner of the handkerchief sticking out of your pocket. Now you should give the command, hanky, every time you want the horse to pick the handkerchief from your pocket. In no time at all, the horse will learn that when he takes a handkerchief out of your pocket, you will give him a reward. Later, you won't have to have any apple or anything on the handkerchief, as the horse will take the handkerchief out of your pocket on command alone. This trick can easily get a good laugh from your spectators, especially if you pretend to sneeze just before your horse gets your handkerchief. How to teach a horse to untie a handkerchief from his leg. This trick is very simple to teach, and yet is most impressive. You tie a handkerchief around the horse's right hind pastern. The horse reaches around, lifts his leg, puts his teeth on the handkerchief, and pulls the handkerchief off. Now, actually, the handkerchief isn't tied tightly. There is just one simple tie in the handkerchief. In other words, it's not actually a completed knot. The handkerchief is just tied one time. In other words, you slip part of the handkerchief under the other piece and pull the two ends, just as if you were starting to tie a bow knot. But you don't complete the knot. You don't tie it a second time, making it into a real knot, or into a tight knot. To teach this trick, you should first have taught your horse to find the handkerchief in your pocket. Now, the next step is to take your handkerchief and move it to the side, to the right side of your horse. You can hold it there and tell your horse the command, hanky. Gradually, move the handkerchief farther and farther back until the handkerchief is closer to the horse's right hind pastern when the horse reaches around to take the handkerchief in his mouth. This is enough for your first lesson. For your second lesson, you should put the handkerchief near your horse's right hind pastern, closer to it, perhaps a foot from it, holding the handkerchief yourself, and then give the command, hanky. After the horse takes the hanky, praise him and reward him. Now tie the handkerchief to your horse's right hind pastern. Give the command, hanky. Your horse will have to lift his leg to reach his handkerchief. If he merely moves his head around but doesn't lift his hind leg, pick up his hind leg and move his hind leg toward his mouth. In other words, show your horse what to do. In no time at all, you will simply tie a handkerchief to your horse's right hind pastern, give the command, hanky, and your horse will untie it himself. Now, if your horse does untie it himself the first time, really praise him. Any time your horse gives any tendency toward doing what you want, shows any tendency, he gives his real cooperation, he should be praised. If he lifts his hind leg and attempts to untie the handkerchief, praise him for it. But you should get the handkerchief in his mouth some way before you put him away. In other words, if all the horse will do is lift his leg and attempt to put it into his mouth, or just turn his head around and not lift his leg, you should lift the horse's leg, and if he doesn't take the handkerchief, you should pull the handkerchief off and place the handkerchief in your palm, a little closer to the horse, until the horse takes the handkerchief in his mouth. In other words, the horse can't think of lifting his leg as the desired response, and he can't think of turning his head as the desired response. He has to understand that the desired response is for the handkerchief to go into his mouth. Now, some trainers don't teach the horse to take the handkerchief out of their pocket first. They simply mash up some apple in the handkerchief or put some grain in the handkerchief and get the horse to turn his head towards the handkerchief and then place the handkerchief, which has some mashed apple in it, on the hind leg. If you have some difficulty, you could place a mashed apple or a part of a mashed apple in a handkerchief on the horse's hind leg. This would be wrapped around the horse's right hind pastern. This would give the horse motivation for taking the handkerchief from his hind leg. There would be a lot of apple in the handkerchief, and the handkerchief would taste good. With a little practice, your horse will eagerly look forward to this trick. You are now ready to teach your horse to untie your hands. A word of caution, you may wish to reconsider the fact that you are intending to teach this trick. You may not want to teach this trick because of a bad habit which could develop. The bad habit which might develop is that your horse might untie himself when you tie him with his halter. This is something that you will have to be on guard against at any time after you've taught your horse to untie your hands, or any time if you've taught him to untie himself. The solution for this problem, if your horse does untie himself, is to tie the lead rope on the ring underneath the horse's halter. In other words, don't use the snap on the lead rope, use the other end of the lead rope and tie the lead rope to the halter. The horse cannot reach under his halter to untie himself from the halter. Now, instead of tying your horse to objects, you simply use the snap on the lead rope to snap your horse to metal rings or special rings which are placed in various places around the barn and paddock. These are the same rings which are commonly used on hitching posts and in aisleways. In other words, you can't really tie your horse and trust him after this. However, your horse is perfectly safe if you snap him to various items. Now, it's possible that your horse won't learn to untie himself because you have taught him to untie your hands, but it is a possibility. To teach a horse to untie your hands, the first thing you do is teach him to take the rope in his mouth. The easiest way to teach him to take the rope in his mouth is to put some apple, mashed up apple, on the rope. Offer it to the horse in your hands and give the command, hanky, just as you did before. The horse will probably pick up the rope. If the horse doesn't pick up the rope, wrap the rope in the handkerchief. Give the command, hanky, and the horse will pick up the handkerchief and the rope. Later, you will change the cue, but right now you want the horse to pick up the rope in his teeth. After the horse will pick up the rope in his teeth, you can discontinue using the handkerchief. That is, if you had to go to the point of using the handkerchief to get the horse to pick up the rope. Now, another way you might get the horse to pick up the rope is to tie the rope to his right hind pastern if the horse has been taught to take a handkerchief from his right hind pastern. Tie the rope loosely to his right hind pastern. Give the command, hanky, which tells him to take the hanky, but there is not a hanky on his right hind pastern. Therefore, he will take the rope. This method can also be used. Once your horse will pick up the rope any time you tell him to, I suggest that you change the cue. You should hold the rope in your hands with a little bit of apple on the rope and give the command, untie. Your horse will probably pick up the rope. If not, encourage him to do so. Stick it right up to his mouth and get the horse to take the rope in his teeth. You can be using a cotton rope or a nylon rope. In this portion, it doesn't really matter. However, when the horse actually unties you, it will be easier with nylon rope if it is the type of nylon rope that water skiers use. This is available at most hardware stores and a lot of sporting goods stores. Now, I'm speaking of the type of nylon rope that is commonly used for water skiers in my area. Perhaps it's a little different in your area. It is relatively inexpensive, and it might be worthwhile for you to purchase some nylon rope. If you use the type of nylon rope that is on many lead ropes and halters, this will sometimes tie a tighter knot than a cotton rope would. Therefore, I suggest that you use a type of nylon rope that seems to be more plasticky. It seems as though it might have some plastic in it, actually, but it's really nylon, and it won't pull as tight. It will not pull into knots as tightly as the other type of nylon rope. I believe the other type of nylon rope may even have some cotton in it. I'm not really certain. Now, if you're going to use the nylon rope, you should be using nylon rope in this early portion of the training. Later, you can go to cotton rope if you so choose. It's possible to train the horse utilizing cotton rope, but it will be easier for him to untie knots if the knots are tied with nylon rope. The horse can learn how to untie them and then progress to the more difficult cotton rope to untie your hands. Once the horse will pick up the rope in his mouth on command regularly, it is time for you to place the rope over your left wrist. Hang on to the rope with your right hand. Give the command to pick up the rope. The horse will take the rope in his teeth, and you will offer just a little bit of resistance. In other words, you will hang on to the rope with your other hand and teach the horse that he sometimes has to pull to get the rope in his teeth. Gradually, you should hang on tighter and tighter to the rope to get the horse to pull harder and harder in order that in the future he will pull in order to untie your hands. The horse will need to understand that he sometimes has to pull harder than others. Once the horse will pull to take the rope, you should tie the rope around your left wrist with one simple knot. As a matter of fact, it may be easier for the horse to take the rope off your wrist than it would be if you held on to the rope and offered some resistance. It will simply be tied as a handkerchief was tied around the horse's right hind pastern, except that it's around your wrist. When the horse takes the rope off your wrist, praise him, and at that point, you should have the lesson be over. Whatever lesson you are on where the horse takes the rope off your wrist when it is tied for the first time, that should be the point where you praise the horse and the lesson should be over. Even if you don't put the horse away, the lesson should be over. You might go on to something else, but the lesson on untying is over. And chances are the horse will do this the first time you tell him if you led up to this lesson properly. In the following lesson, tie the rope twice. Do your simple tie, and then tie the extra tie. This actually puts one real knot in the rope. Now tie the rope very, very loosely, and give the command, untie. Chances are your horse will have no difficulty in untying the knot. If he does, back up a little bit, and just let him practice pulling the rope to get it. Then come back to the point where your horse unties one knot. When he unties the simple knot, you are ready to go to the double knot. As the horse becomes more adept at untying the knot, you will be able to tie a more difficult knot if you so choose. At this point, you are ready to have a friend tie both of your hands. It's possible to tie both of your own hands if you use a combination of your hands and teeth, but it's really very impractical. It's good to have an assistant. The assistant should gently tie both of your hands. Give the command, untie, to your horse. The horse should proceed to untie your hands. You should then praise your horse and let him know that you really appreciate what he did. The horse shouldn't have any difficulty untying your hands. Now, he may understand you and he may not. He may misunderstand because someone else tied your hands. Also, the rope is now around both of your wrists instead of just one wrist. If your horse doesn't seem to understand, offer the rope on both of your wrists to your horse. Offer the rope on both of your wrists to your horse's mouth and give the command again. In no time at all, he will understand what he is to do. He will understand and he will untie your hands. After the horse practices some more, you can go to a cotton rope if you've been using a nylon rope. Now, this isn't necessary, but you may want to go to a cotton rope. A horse that practices can learn to untie almost any knot. Your horse can become very good at this. But I would just teach the horse to untie a simple knot in order that he will be less inclined to try to untie himself. You will have to really watch your horse to make certain he doesn't try untying himself later on. If you only teach him to untie a simple knot and only from your wrists, or perhaps from your wrists and from your legs, you shouldn't have too much difficulty. You could have someone tie both of your legs together and your wrists as well, and you could have your horse untie you in both areas. You could give the command and the horse would untie one and then the horse would untie the other. If the horse doesn't seem to understand that he should untie both knots, give the command a second time. Give the command untie a second time. If that doesn't work, you should practice only having the horse untie the knot that he didn't want to untie. Chances are he untied your hands first because that's what he had practiced. That's what he's been practicing. Now tie your legs, but don't tie your hands. Teach your horse to untie your legs. After your horse has learned to untie your legs as well as your hands, you are ready to have both areas tied and give the command untie. Now your horse should be able to understand that he should untie both your hands and your legs. After he makes the first knot loose, give the command to untie the second knot. This should teach your horse how to untie you when you are tied up. Your horse can learn to untie a very complicated knot. However, it is my suggestion that you only tie simple knots. If you only have him untie simple knots, he will be less likely to untie himself when you tie him with his halter. Now, this is no guarantee that he won't attempt to untie himself. It's just my opinion that he will be less likely to attempt to untie himself. If he should untie himself and he were in an area that was not fenced, he could be hit by a passing vehicle or get into some other type of danger. Therefore, you should use caution if you've taught your horse this trick. Now, he may never attempt to untie himself, but then again, the idea just may strike him. Now, if you wanted, you could actually teach the horse to untie himself on command, but if you tied him to a fence and used these same techniques to teach him to untie himself, then you could never tie him with a halter unless he was snapped. The rope could only be tied to the halter and nowhere else. Therefore, don't teach this. It isn't worth it. How to teach the Spanish walk. It is very helpful to have an assistant or two, but it is not absolutely necessary. After hearing the instructions, you will see why it is very helpful to have an assistant. I will give the instructions as though you had an assistant. If you don't have an assistant, you'll have to do all of the work yourself and perhaps go a little bit slower. Tap the horse on the forearm as high as possible. Use a whip or small stick on the horse's forearm, very high on the horse's forearm. Attempt to get him to raise his leg. Tap his left leg first. If he raises it at all, praise him and be satisfied. Now tap your horse on the right forearm. Get him to raise his right leg. Any movement upward at all is satisfactory in the first few lessons. Practice this until your horse will raise his legs upon command. One at a time, he will raise his legs. If he attempts to do a counting motion with both legs when his leg comes up, praise him and you are ready to proceed farther. If he is not about to do a counting motion but lifts his leg up as though he might be going to do a Spanish walk, well, that of course is also acceptable. But you want his leg to come up and forward. You don't want his leg to bend at the knee and his hoof to come up towards his belly. His leg must come up and forward. It may be necessary when the horse raises his leg for you to lead him forward a step, just one step, in order that he doesn't raise his leg to the back, towards the rear, towards his belly. You want him to bring his legs forward. To proceed with teaching the Spanish walk, tap the left forearm. When the horse raises his leg, let him go forward and set his leg down. Just before he goes to lift his right leg to continue his forward movement, tap his right forearm. Each leg should be encouraged to come up. With each step, you tap the forearm just prior to the leg being lifted. Now, to encourage this movement, it is helpful to have a rider. If you don't have a rider, you may need to use a whip on your horse's side, similar to where the heel would go to encourage the horse to go forward. As the horse steps forward with his left front leg, the rider should apply his right heel. This gives impulsion. It causes the horse to move forward. At the same time, the rider should pull very gently on the right rein. Now, the right rein is pulled once the horse has his left leg in the air. This tends to put weight on the right leg, causing the horse to keep his left leg in the air for a longer period of time. When the horse steps down on his left leg, you do the reverse, the opposite. The horse is tapped on the forearm. The rider applies the left heel to give impulsion, forward movement, and the rider pulls slightly on the left rein just as the horse is reaching high with the right leg. Just as he's reaching the full height, the rider pulls on the left rein, which causes weight to stay on the left leg. With weight on the left leg, the horse will tend to keep the right leg in the air longer. This is how you teach the Spanish walk. It takes time and practice. It will take lesson after lesson after lesson. It's also a good idea, if you have an assistant to help, that each time the horse steps forward, the horse should have a whip used on a hind cannon bone. This will cause the horse to step higher with his hind legs as well. Now, there's one other method you can employ if you have difficulty, and that is to put a strap around each pastern of the horse, right below the fetlocks. I'm speaking of the front pasterns, at least for now. Have a rope fastened to each one of these straps. If you don't have a strap, you could just fasten a rope around each fetlock. Tap the horse on the forearm. An assistant should pull up and then out. It's important that the leg come up before it comes forward. Then tap the other leg. The assistant should pull up and out once the hoof is raised. But the assistant should not pull the leg up off the ground. The assistant should pull after the horse has lifted his leg on his own. Once the horse has begun to lift his leg, the assistant pulls up and then he pulls out. Now, the signal for the Spanish walk will be to be tapped on the front forearms. Later, you will be able to point with a whip towards the front forearms. From the saddle, the signal will be the heel and the rein, just as the assistant is doing in the saddle right now. In other words, when the left leg goes up, the right heel and right rein are both applied at the same time. It's also a good idea on the ground to use a voice command. The voice command could be Spanish, or it could be lift. Anything that you desire. Give a voice command at the same time that you tap the horse's front legs. This will make the transition to the saddle much, much easier. This is the essence of teaching the Spanish walk. Now it's up to you. You'll have to practice and practice and practice. With each lesson, you just encourage the horse to do a little bit more than the lesson before. In the Spanish walk, the horse should lift his legs high and outstretch them to their fullest reach. And with each leg, he should hesitate before it comes back down completely. In other words, the legs should remain in the air a long time and have a full reach and just seem to hesitate an instant and then come down. It is extremely important that the horse not bend his leg to bring it back to the ground. The horse lifts his leg up, stretches it out, and with his outstretched leg takes a big step forward. By causing the horse to go forward, his leg can come down with his leg still being fully outstretched. Now you have all the information you need to teach any number of tricks. You can teach a lot of tricks with the information that you have already been given. I'll give you some examples. Your horse will now do a polka. How? You simply give the Spanish walk signal for the left leg. The horse reaches out with his left leg and takes a large step. You don't have him do the Spanish walk with the right leg. He takes a normal step with the left leg and then a Spanish walk step with the right leg. Let me give you an example. Now just listen to me. left leg high, right leg, left leg, right leg high, left leg, right leg, left leg high. You see the pattern to it? You see the rhythm? Now, it's important that you don't too thoroughly teach the Spanish walk before teaching the polka, or you might have difficulty with the horse wanting to take Spanish walk steps in between. If that is the case, as soon as you give one Spanish walk step, as soon as you give the signal and the horse has done it, that is, say, all right, that will do to release the horse so that the horse won't take a second Spanish walk step. Then when you make your next Spanish walk step, give the release cue again. Now, this won't have to be continued indefinitely, but it is a way to tell your horse that he only takes the one step in this instance. The one Spanish walk step, that is. Now, your horse will do any number of tricks. He will do the polka by obeying cues that you've already taught him. He can do the Spanish trot. If you've thoroughly taught him the Spanish walk, just encourage him to go faster. It will take a lot of time. And it will take a little bit of practice, but your horse can do the Spanish trot just by going faster at the Spanish walk.